Coast. Well, in the end, it appears it was the cover-up that got her. Former dog walker Emma Paulson was sentenced today for her role in the deaths of 6 dogs in her care. When the animals went missing in May of last year, Paulson told police they had been stolen from her truck. But police later found out the dogs had died of a heat stroke and that Paulson had dumped the bodies in a panic. Well, today, Paulson was sentenced to 6 months in jail. And to help us understand the judge's decision, we have reached Michael Mulligan. He's a criminal lawyer in Victoria. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Good afternoon.
Most people watching this case didn't expect the judge to sentence Emma Paulson to time behind bars. When you heard the judge's reasons for sentencing, were you surprised?
Well, I think it was a reminder of the lesson that people should have taken from Watergate a few years ago. The accused in this case, the aggravating factors included that apparently she'd engaged in this conduct with dogs in the past, despite warnings, just leaving them in the back of her truck. But in addition to that, after they died, as you mentioned, she dumped the bodies, and then even in a more aggravating fashion, made a false report to the police claiming that that vehicle was broken into and the dogs were stolen, causing the police to then engage in a needless investigation of that false claim. So it's those aggravating factors that I expect played a significant part in Judge Jardine's decision. He's an experienced trial judge, and no doubt those things would have been central to him.
If she had just fessed up from the beginning, would she still be going to jail, do you think?
If she did, she would likely be going for a much shorter period of time. The justice system takes seriously false complaints to the police. The justice system in many cases relies on people being honest with the police, and when there are false complaints made, not only do they have the risk of diverting important police resources from legitimate investigations, but in some cases they have the potential to lead to people being wrongfully charged for things that they didn't do.
In the end, what did she actually plead guilty to here?
It was 2 counts, as I understand it. It was 1 count of cruelty to animals, and a 2nd count of public mischief, which is the one flowing from making the false report of theft to the police.
And is it the combination of those two that saw her get jail time, or does one carry more weight than the other in those 2 charges?
It sounds like it was a combination of the 2 things combined with, as well, the background. If somebody had inadvertently left animals in their vehicle without any previous warnings, and they had died, and the person immediately confessed to having done that, it would be surprising if the person wound up with a jail sentence. But here, the additional elements included this person having been warned about the same conduct in the past,
right,
and then what had happened, making this false police report.
In delivering his verdict, Judge Jardine did say the victim impact statements were difficult to read. How much would the decision in sentencing be swayed by those statements?
They play a factor, but not a major one. The justice system isn't a system that involves sort of 3 parties, the victim, the Crown, and the accused. It's the Crown who's charging the person. The importance of the victim impact statements is that they tell the judge about what impact the crime had. But even if you had people who had forgiven the accused in this case, it would not be inappropriate for the judge to have the same level of concern about her background and the false report.
Emma Paulson has also lost her business in all of this. Her reputation as any caretaker in regard to animals has been ruined. Her name has been dragged through the media. Does all of that have any impact on a judge's decision when it comes to meeting out jail time?
It does, and those would be important personal factors. A judge in a case like this, though, would have to take into account both the impact on the offender, the need for that person to be punished, and that would be the specific deterrence of that person to make sure she's not going to do something again in the future. But one of the other important considerations in a case like this would be the concept of general deterrence. And general deterrence is the idea that we need to make sure that other members of the public get the message that this sort of behavior is not acceptable, and to deter others from engaging in the same conduct. It seems very unlikely that the woman in this case would ever repeat this conduct, given the things that you mentioned. But it's important that the justice system send a message to others that this sort of conduct is not tolerable.
I guess where people end up being confused here is that, of course, we're talking about animals here. We're talking about dogs, and those dogs are, needless to say, very, very important to their owners. But we do see court cases where someone might be convicted of impaired driving that results in death or serious injury, and those people not getting any jail time.
Well, that's actually a good question. You'll see with some regularity, not very common, but from time to time, circumstances where somebody is impaired and they get into a car accident. What can be seriously aggravating is if a person gets into a car accident in those circumstances, flees, and then makes a false report to the police that their car was stolen, causing them to engage in a long investigation of that false complaint. It's those sort of things which can be very seriously aggravating and could turn a case that wouldn't wind up the jail sentence into one that would. You'll also see jail sentences in other circumstances where false complaints are made. One of the ones I looked at briefly after this story was reported was a Court of Appeal decision from a few years ago where a woman made a false complaint of sexual assault, causing somebody to be arrested and spending the night in jail. That person was sentenced to 9 months in jail. The Court of Appeal reduced it to 3. So that can give you some sense of how courts can treat these sort of false police reports, public mischief. And in the case that Judge Jardine dealt with today, we had the public mischief combined with somebody who not only caused the needless suffering and death of the dogs, but somebody who had done that apparently in the past multiple times and having been warned not to do it. So it's likely that combination of things that wound up with the sentence that she received today.
So 6 month jail time, then, is that within a reasonable range when it comes to sentencing? If she were your client, would you suggest she appeal?
Well, it's a significant sentence, and she may appeal, but it's important to remember that an appeal isn't asking another judge what would that judge have done. The issue on an appeal would be whether this sentence is within the range of appropriate sentences that could be imposed. So, for example, a judge on an appeal might look to previous cases like the one I mentioned in terms of what range of sentence might be appropriate for somebody engaged in this sort of public mischief, and then they would need to consider the aggravating and mitigating circumstances. There are some mitigating circumstances here, including this person had no previous record, and ultimately she pled guilty, and those are important mitigating factors. But on an appeal, the issue would be, is this sentence in the range of possible sentences that a judge could impose, not would everyone necessarily agree with it or come to the same conclusion?
Michael Mulligan, very good to speak with you this afternoon. Thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
You take care. Bye-bye now.